Through the sacrament of holy baptism, we have been raised with Christ to new life.
We have been given the new birth of the water and of the Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
These things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Thus does Isaiah prophesy some 7 centuries before the day of which he speaks, for the day of which he speaks is the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is prophesying about you, O Christian. You will say in that day, in this day, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. You will say in that day, in this day, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, behold, God is my salvation. And you do say this, in this day, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, precisely because it has been to your advantage that Jesus has gone away and sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to you. For no one says, Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. No one knows the Father's anger toward us for our many sins has been turned away by the perfect life and sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross, but by the Holy Spirit. No one knows how impossible it is for us sinners to save ourselves, but by the Holy Spirit. And no one knows that our Lord Jesus Christ has become our salvation, doing what is impossible for us, fulfilling every perfect command of God's perfect law in our place, and paying for our every failure with his precious blood on Mount Calvary, but by the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is lacking, there is no truth. We see this in every other religion save Christianity. For every other religion is a religion of the law, where the way of salvation, whatever is meant by salvation according to each particular religion, is left to us. Being good, whatever is meant, again, by being good according to each particular religion, is the way to the afterlife and the way to salvation. In these religions, lacking the Holy Spirit, God has not become your salvation, but it is incumbent upon you to save yourselves, to merit favor with God, whoever God might be, that you might gain access through your own works to whatever glory there is and whatever afterlife is to come. Where the Holy Spirit is lacking, there is no truth. That is to say, where the Holy Spirit is lacking, there is no Jesus, for he is the truth. Where there is no Jesus, there is not only no truth, but neither is there any way to salvation, nor the possibility of eternal life. For Jesus is not only the truth, but also the way and life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Therefore, sing to the Lord a new song, O Christian, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. More than that, he has revealed his righteousness to you by the Holy Spirit. For he has fulfilled his promise to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has done and continues to do in you exactly what Jesus promised he would do. He convicts you of sin, putting the perfect commands of God's perfect law before you and showing you how miserably you measure up. You have not loved God as you should, not even close. And you have not loved your neighbors as you should, not even close. Declaring this, at the beginning of every divine service, confessing it, is not just some rote ritual in which you participate, but a confession of the truth. You have sinned in many and various ways. You have sinned. And St. James tells you in the epistle this morning to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. He's talking to you. To you, O Christian. He's telling you what you should be striving for as those who have received the Holy Spirit. And because you have received the Holy Spirit, you not only know that what St. James tells you is good, but you do strive to live as he tells you to live. And by the same Holy Spirit, you know when you haven't. For when you haven't, when you haven't been quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger, but rather short-tempered and quick to hurl angry insults and hold grudges and gossip about those people, the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, and then comes the guilt and shame for your sins. For you know you ought not behave like that. And when you don't put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, but either engage in it or turn a blind eye to it, the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, and then comes the guilt and shame, for you know you ought not do this. And when you do not receive the implanted word, which is Jesus, in meekness and humility, as one who is desperate for salvation, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, but rather come to church to just go through the motions, or worse, skip church altogether because you have better things to do, the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, and then comes the guilt and shame, for you know you ought not treat the gospel so cheaply. Repent. That is the call of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not only sent to convict you of sin, but also, as Jesus tells us, of righteousness and judgment. When he has convicted you of sin and led you to repentance, he is quick to direct your attention to Jesus, to remind you of all that he has done and continues to do for you, to show you your salvation by taking what belongs to Jesus, his holiness and righteousness, and declaring it to you. Your sins are taken away by the Lamb of God, in whose holiness and righteousness the Holy Spirit has clothed you. Not by anything you have done, but by all that Jesus has done and continues to do for you. The Holy Spirit convicts you of righteousness, and then the guilt and the shame of your sins is taken away, covered by the perfect holiness and righteousness of Christ. And as the Holy Spirit convicts you of righteousness, he also convicts you of judgment. For he declares to you that Satan has been defeated, completely and thoroughly defeated, and that his accusations against you for all your sins have been silenced by the blood of Jesus. The very one who fulfilled the ancient prophecy, the first gospel promise, by coming to crush the serpent's head on the cross. Satan is defeated. Sin is paid for in full, and death is dead, for Jesus lives and reigns and intercedes for you at the right hand of the Father. You have been judged and found not guilty for Jesus' sake. And so, as strange as it seems, it really is to your advantage that Jesus go away so that he might send the Holy Spirit to you. For Jesus goes away to the cross to win your salvation. And it is from the cross that he hands over the Spirit of truth, that is, his own Spirit. For just as Jesus and the Father are one, so Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. On the cross, Jesus hands over the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, along with the life-giving and life-sustaining water and blood that pour forth from his pierced side. For it is through that water and blood that the Holy Spirit will take what belongs to Jesus and declare it to you, clothing you in Jesus' holiness and righteousness through the water of holy baptism, and continually cleansing your baptismal robes in the blood of the Lamb distributed in the Holy Supper. Did you see it in Isaiah's prophecy? In his prophecy? For he prophesies about this too. He says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and so you have. For by the Holy Spirit's gracious working, you have drawn water from the wells of Jesus' side. And you shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. For by the Holy Spirit's gracious working, you believe and confess that the Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, is bodily present upon the holy altar, giving you to eat and to drink the very body and blood he gave and shed for your forgiveness, that you might be strengthened and preserved in the faith. What all of this means, of course, is that while Jesus has departed to ascend to the Father's right hand to be your mediator, having finished every last work necessary for your salvation, he is not gone. The Holy Spirit directs us to where he is for us, to where Jesus continues to tabernacle among us in his very flesh and blood, here in his holy church, at the font, the pulpit, and the altar. Jesus is your strength and your song, for he has become your salvation. He is your refuge from the sorrows that inevitably fill your lives in this veil of tears, the sorrows that are brought upon you by other sinners, and the sorrows which you bring upon yourself with your own sin. He prepares his holy church for you as a blessed oasis in the desert of this sinful world, a sanctuary, a safe haven, that you might come and be saved. Come and be fed upon him, the word of God that never passes away. Oh yes, oh Christian, it is to your advantage that Jesus has gone away so that he might send the Spirit of truth to lead you into all truth. That is, to lead you into Jesus and the wells of salvation that never cease flowing from him. Come then, at the gracious invitation of your Savior, which the Holy Spirit opens your ears to hear, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and receive rest for your souls. Receive with meekness and joy the implanted Word, that is, Jesus, the Word become flesh, who is planted into you, so that you might sing the new song of his revealed righteousness, not only with your lips, but with your lives, giving thanks to the Lord, calling upon his name, making known his deeds among the peoples, proclaiming that his name is exalted. Lord, grant this unto us all, in the name of Jesus, for he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their own. For the Holy Church, that God's word may be proclaimed boldly and clearly among all nations, and that his holy sacraments be properly administered and received to the joy of God's children, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors, teachers, and all God's people, especially for Matthew, our synodical president, David, our district president, Michael, our circuit counselor, Thomas, our pastor, and God's people who belong to this congregation, that the Holy Spirit may be upon them to strengthen them in fear and the love of God, to open their lips to confess Christ's name and his resurrection victory, and to move their hands to works of mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the enemies of Christ's church, that God provide for their needs of body and soul, that the Holy Spirit may turn them from evil and bring them to faith in Jesus, and that we may be moved to love them in Christ, trusting solely in God's wisdom and mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our national, state, and local officials, all who work in government, all who serve in our armed forces, including Gabriel Blair, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Johnny Peace, and Christopher Schau, and all who contribute to our general welfare, health, and safety, that God grant them wisdom and temperance and give them grace to protect all who are placed in harm's way, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those battling illness, recovering from surgery, or suffering in any way in this veil of tears, especially for those who have requested our prayers, including Donna Bebo, Joan Birch, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Bill Harmon, Ken Hill, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Samantha Packard, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cull, Sally Messer, Phil Warsop, Lee G, Sherry Shaw, Joseph Tulk, Samantha Tulk, Elaine Wood, Pastor Dan Chambers, Robin Carter, Jeanne Weiser, Dan Freed, Rosemary Reichart, and Sandra Goodrow, that the great physician may restore them to health according to his kind will, and that the Holy Spirit, our constant companion, may ease their burdens and fill their hearts with the love of God in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune at this holy altar today, that receiving Christ's very body and blood in repentant faith, they would rejoice to join in the church's unending hymn of praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Join our prayers and praises with those of your faithful people of every time and place, and unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, until he comes in power and great glory as victorious Lord of all, O Heavenly Father. Through him, with him, and in him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with your Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to all ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.
That we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The very body of Christ given for you.
very body of Christ given for you. this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
And give you peace.
Amen.